all your soul and with all your mind. That's the greatest commandment of all. Say that with me. With all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. You love him. Amen. Don't love man. You love him. Amen. Don't look at me. You look at me through me unto God. Amen. When you stop looking at me, you're going to fail. Amen. I promise you. If you look at me and what I am, you're going to fail. But if you look through me to God, we're all going to succeed. Amen. How many want to be blessed by God? Love him. Now, you don't have this in your book either, but something tells me you're not going to need to sing along with us today. And we want to remember that God is in control. Amen. We are one nation under who? One nation under God, the United States of America, about ready to celebrate another birthday, the 4th of July, starting. And it started with people who wanted to be free, amen? People who wanted to be away from the tyranny, away from the dictators. They wanted to start something free, and they started it with who? God, amen? We need to always remember we're one nation under that God. As long as we look up to that God and we don't look to man, we are going to be blessed, amen? A nation who loves God shall be blessed. God bless the United States of America, because he's got us right in his hand. That's Judy. have God in mind, especially because they quote the Bible. Amen. But I just want to say this today on this beautiful day we're celebrating with God. We've all lost people that we love so very much. And no matter how many years go by, we still miss them in the most amazing ways. But I want to tell you this one thing. If you were any of us to ask any of those people that we lost, anybody in your life that you lost, ask one, would you like to come back? They would look at you and say, are you out of your mind? If you ask them, I miss you, would you like to come back? They say, you got to be out of your mind. To know where I am. We're supposed to know where they are. Amen. The word of God continues even beyond when we're passing through here, because we have a promise for tomorrow. Amen. That promise is a place so beautiful that we can't even imagine. So if I called my brother on the phone and said, PD, the Yankees are doing great, I miss you, come on back, he'd say, you're crazy. No pain, no sorrow, no sadness, joy, unspeakable joy, the beauty, the music, the celebration, the peace beyond our imagination. They would not come back, amen. So we need to rejoice and know that our future, our dreams, our plans, and our promises are for that day someday, amen. And understand that the people that we love and miss the most would say to you, I'm not coming back there. Why would I? I love you, and you know that I love you. So carry that, amen. Just carry that thought with you, and you know how beautiful those places are. So I thank my brothers and my family just that they're in a beautiful place. And we know that we'll join them Sunday, a long time from now, with each other. So give them praise, sir. Give God praise.
To live in the United States of America. Amen. There's something in the world called the Live the American Dream. There's a reason why the rest of the world wants to live that American dream. It's the way we treat one another, the way we treat each other with freedom. And being able to go from one state to another anytime we want to get in the car and drive to Oregon, drive to Minnesota, whenever we feel like. The beauty of this country is just amazing. And the founders knew what they were doing. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Psalm 33. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. Blessed is one of my favorite scriptures, 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Hallelujah. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Hallelujah. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Let your mercies be upon us today, on this day, July 2017. How about that? It still works today. Amen. The Bible still works today. Can I get an amen? Give them praise, church. Brother James, it's good to have you. You're going to notice that I'm going to ask a lot of times for praise. And I love to tell this because it's one of my favorite things. And they've all heard it 7,000 times. The Bible, oh, who said that? Oh, yeah, see, the wife of the guy who does the Bible studies. Yeah, it is. James, the Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. To me, that's such a powerful scripture that if we praise him, the Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. And I love that, so that's why we do it. And we can laugh in church. Imagine that. Imagine when we were kids, David, and we went to a church and we laughed. What would happen? Ooh. And yeah, if you're lucky. A calling. Now, some of you heard this before, but I'm going to try to give you just a different understanding. How many know that churches are closing? Amen? And how many know that some churches, the preacher, the pastor's going to different places and being sent to different churches? Amen? Who's doing that? Man is doing that. Amen? Now, I have a friend of mine, Doug will tell you, John will tell you, our friend Brian goes to this church every Sunday, and he had a pastor there who he absolutely loved, and they decided one day that they were going to move him on and brought a new pastor. Amen? Who does that? Man, okay. I am called to be here. You might know the story that I gave my life to God many years ago, and I went to his church, and I went to school, and I studied, I read the Word. And one day, I was blessed to be able to give testimony at my brother's wake. My brother Johnny passed away, and I went and I spoke that day. And unbeknownst to me, Dave was there. Dave Wilkinson was there and with the church. And after that day that I spoke, he came up and said, if there was ever some day that it ever worked out, would you ever be interested in pastoring or preaching? And I said, absolutely. And this was many years ago. And then my church told me, well, we're going to move to Texas. We want you to come with us. I said, that's not my calling. I don't want to go to Texas. And then they met with my wife and I, and they said, we want you to take over our church. We want you to become the pastors of the church. And that meeting I had with my pastors was about a week after I met with Dave, and he asked me, would I want to come here and preach the word? And I said to Dave, yes, I made a commitment to God. Amen. I made a commitment to David and this church and to God. And I looked at my pastors and I told them that I made that. I said, I made a commitment to them many years ago and I never dropped that. I was there when they needed me, every time they needed me. And I was happy to serve God and they blessed me by doing that. But I made a commitment here and I came to what I considered was to me like a desert. You know, understand, but I left a church with hundreds of people with their hands in the air, praising God, singing hallelujah, to a church that felt a little more reserved, shall I say, amen. The love of God was here. The six people here had a love for God that they were going to stand on the rock until something good happened here. Their faith was stronger than most people, amen. But they asked me to come here and preach. Well, that's what that's called, the calling, amen. I was called to be here. And the other thing you might not know about me, that I lived a half a block away all my life, my childhood till I was 18, one half a block away from here. Right here, I grew up, and I told somebody at Derby Day, I got thrown out of the parking lot, out of the yard here for playing wiffle ball. And it could have been David's father that kicked me out of the yard, for all I know. Right? But when you look at everything like I'm trying to explain, and I'm not lifting myself up, I'm just talking about a calling, amen? If you cannot understand, I was called to pastor here, amen? If I'm called to pastor here, can I get an amen? And you are being fed for coming here, amen? How many are being fed? If you feel like you're getting fed the word, then you are called to be here, amen? There you go. So God opened this door to me, not because of my music. Hallelujah. I love playing my music. But my music had, God wasn't impressed with my songs. He was impressed with right here. Amen. So he brought me here because of my heart. And I cannot change who I was. I can't change who I am. But I am beyond humbled and thankful that God changed me. He moved me and then trusted me to be in this place today. Understand that. He trusted me to be here today. That is why your pastor is so excited every Sunday. People say, "You guys, you're crazy. What do you?" I'm excited because God called me to be here, because God is doing something here for the blessings of all of us who attend. Amen? And here, if you could just take hold of that, take hold of that thought, how did this man become our pastor? And realize that God worked every single thing out to bring me here. I'm not special. Understand, I'm not talking about me the person. I'm talking about me the Spirit, amen? The Spirit inside me that wanted to preach. My heart was on to be a pastor. God brought me here, amen? If you could just take that in your heart, then you would become as excited as I am and ready to receive the word, allowing that word each week to remove any stumbling blocks that you are facing. You see, you would get just as excited, because if I'm called to be here and you're getting fed, Lisa, you're called to be here. Fran, you're called. So if God has called you to be here, this is where you belong. Amen? Can I get an amen? Becoming grounded in the thought, his word, unmoving, unwavering, fighting through, steadfast. You see, all your changes aren't going to change me, but it will change you. Amen? So if I had a word for you today, would you accept it or say, "I can't do that"? Keeping yourself caught in your own bondage. Amen? Listen to this testimony. Trusting God means setting things free because you trust him, because you believe him, and you want more of his hand in all you do. Amen? That is trusting God. Can I get an amen? Now I'm going to ask you a question. Have any of you ever failed at anything? Well, there's your answer. God and love never fails, amen? So if I had a message from you and I said it was from God and you didn't receive it, who's going to fail? Me? No. But the one that doesn't receive the message, amen? So you are called here. Who are called? You are. Say it with me. I am called to be here. So make it, amen. Make it all you can be, amen? Make it all you can be. Why are you, don't be lukewarm. Get crazy for God, amen? Hallelujah. Claim your seat where you're sitting. Claim it. This is my seat in my church, and my church in my ministry. This is mine. I claim it. Make it all you can be. Power up with God. Listen, I hear a lot of people say, "Oh, I like watching this guy, and I like watching that guy on TV, and Mark tells me about, Dave tells me about, oh, this guy." And those guys are great. Amen? You know why they're great? Because they got the Holy Spirit inside them, and they're letting it out, and they're talking about God. Amen? And you love them. Amen? But let me tell you something. That same guy that you watch on TV or that book you read by that guy, guess what? You got the same spirit inside of you. We talked to somebody last week. She said, "Oh, I went to Pennsylvania to see this fellow speak. Oh, God, he's on fire for the Lord. He had people standing out of wheelchairs, and he had all excited, and he had the place going crazy." And I walked up to her after the show, and I said, "Heather, you realize?" And she said, "You realize that spirit of God that's in that guy?" She said, "Yeah. He's inside of you. You can do all those things that he's doing if you choose to do it and really faithfully follow God." Amen? I said, that's the same spirit. So that person you're watching on TV, that you got that same spirit inside. There's nothing different than him except that he's taken another step in front of himself. Amen? Put himself behind and let his faith lead him. Amen? Are you with me? Hallelujah. A church on fire for God is alive, excited, ready to receive, to help the ministry, That fire and excitement will draw people to God. Amen. If we can get this church totally on fire for God, just excited about things and your life changing, other people will have to come here. They will not be able to not come here because they will see it and hear it and say, I got to find out what it's all about, sir. We can't be ourselves anymore. We can't be behind the bondage anymore. We got to break through the bondage because we trust God. And let me tell you some people. David, not that David. Joseph, not that Joseph. Whew, Daniel, we got any Daniels? Moses, thank God no Moses. Abraham, Peter, John, Paul. They all did great things for God, amen, because they believed God, amen. They did those great things because they stood out in faith. They never said, I can't, it won't happen, I don't know. They might have said they were afraid because Moses didn't even want to go to the mountain. He was afraid. But they did great things for God because they stood out and they trusted his word, amen. Daniel in the lion's den, David fighting Goliath. When everybody else was afraid, he was saying, you're talking against my God. I will not let anybody talk against my God. And he went and defeated Goliath. Amen. Abraham with his son Isaac, he trusted God enough to put his son on the altar. And God saw that love and made Abraham the father of many nations. Amen. The blessings that you will receive if you will step out in faith are so many more than you can even comprehend if you trust God. Amen. That's the message. They believe God. You believe God. This is your church. You're called to be here because I know that I'm called to be here. Amen. I know that God put me here. And if he put me here and you're here, then he put you here too. Give him praise and start getting excited. Claim your seat. So Lord, the prayer today, thank you, Father, that you lead us. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you for Jesus, for we live in the covenant of grace. We no longer live in the covenant of sin. We live in the covenant of the promise, grace, unmerited favor. We get on fire for you. We get excited for the things you have for us. We get out of our comfort zones and realize we are called by you to do greater things than we're doing today. And to understand when we look in the mirror and see that person, but that person has failed time and time again, but you have never failed. Your word never fails. Your love never fails. We need to be more of you and less of us and understand that you have everything in your hand for us. You have our hopes and our dreams and our visions. We need to trust you that this church is going to be great, not because of the people inside it, not because of the pastor, but because we're preaching your word. That makes this church a great church because your word is being preached in this house and people are receiving it. That makes this church great. And this church has a lot to offer the lost because we're preaching the word of God here. And that's what makes it a great church. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us. Raise us up, Lord. Raise us higher. Show us the way, Lord. Let that light shine. Show us how to do it, Lord. Show us and we will follow, Lord. We will love you with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, Lord, the greatest commandment. We will love you, Lord. We will love you and no other God will we serve. In this house, we will read your word, trusting you. And be in unity with you. We all might disagree with sports or politics or all sorts of things in the world we can disagree with, but we can never disagree about Jesus and the Word of God who makes us greater together because God is with us and we can do the impossible if we just allow God to reach in and take that out of us. We can do this. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. 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 Hallelujah. We can do all things through God who strengthens us. So reach that. Claim your seat today. You're called to be here. God has watched you drive here today. He's been with you all week. He has walked with you all week. He called you to be here. This is where you belong with God. With God. The God of the Bible. How awesome is that? Claim that in Jesus' name. Let it light a fire you never thought possible. In Jesus' name I pray.
Everybody.
you many times that I take this book literally. I believe every word in this book. Amen? I heard and read a sermon where somebody said that it's foolish to do that. You can't do that. That this book sort of wore out a little bit. Some of the old stuff have to kind of just put aside because, well, it doesn't fit 2017. And my blood began to, like, I'm not supposed to get angry, I know, but I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Somebody in church preaching that there's something in this book that's passé, that's passed over? Amen? Are you with me today? Good. So I got some scriptures and I got some stuff I want to read with you today about this book. Don't judge the book by its cover. My Yankee book. John 5, 46, 47. Jesus is saying, who's saying this? Jesus, listen. For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Jesus is talking about who? Moses. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. How many know that? He wrote the first five books of the Bible written by Moses. The rest of the Old Testament are from prophets and history, but Moses wrote the first five books of that Bible. And Jesus is saying, if you believed Moses, you would believe me. So if I start telling you something in the first five books that aren't for today, what am I telling you? Don't believe Jesus? Because he's telling us that. Now Hebrews 13:8 tells us this. Listen, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's the first word there? Yesterday. What was this? Yesterday, right? So if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then this book is what? The same. Yesterday, today, and when? Hallelujah. Acts 7:22, you guys have been studying Acts, it says this, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Imagine that. Who was? Moses. Now I tell you this, this isn't in the Bible, this is from your pastor. The word of God must always stand above the word of man. Amen? We are not to judge his word, but rather it judges us. Amen? We are not supposed to judge what is and what isn't. It's supposed to judge who we are. Amen? It's not for man. It's from, this book is from who? God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So Moses came down and told the people. I'm in Exodus, this book of Exodus. This is the journey. The book of Exodus is the second book in the Bible. The first book I'm going to get to, I want to get ahead of myself, but Genesis is the first book, amen? That's the first, the only book that he wrote that he wasn't a part of. But who did he talk to on the mountain? God, amen? And he also had the writings, possibly of Adam, and he had probably had the writings of Ham, one of Noah's sons, amen? So he had writings, and he had things to go with, but he was on the mountain with who? Hallelujah. So that's what I'm basing my love on. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. How many judgments? And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said we will do. How many words? Hallelujah. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. This is, I'm sorry, 24, that was 24:3. Gary, now 24:7, Exodus 24:7, then it says, then Moses took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. Hallelujah. How about that? Amen. He took the book of the covenant right here, the book. He read what God told him. Amen. And they said they would follow how many of the laws? Hallelujah. Noah was his father, yeah. Ham. Ham and Shem and Mo and Curly. I'm not going to get in trouble for that. I know, God. Thank you, Lord. People are doing it. Too easy. Exodus, I want you to listen now. People say, well, the Old Testament doesn't matter today. Amen? The stuff, it doesn't matter. It's too old. It doesn't work for us. I want you to listen to where the Old Testament came from. I love this scripture. I'm in Exodus again, 33:12, Gary, if you want to read. Then Moses said to the Lord, who did he say to? Imagine now get your picture in your brain and get that picture going. Moses is talking to God and he says, Lord, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know who you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, Moses is saying, I'm going to pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know that, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider this nation as your people. And God said to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Give him rest. Then he said to him, Moses said, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. He's determined now, amen? He said, I'm not going to go anywhere or do anything unless your presence goes with me, amen? So you see, you can talk to God like, understand he's talking to God. He's not arguing with God. He's not being disrespectful. He's really in reverence talking to him. He's saying, if your presence does not go with me, don't bring me up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, who said it? I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Lord, I pray someday that I hear you say that I have found grace in your sight. I know that I have. But imagine that, the beauty of what God is telling Moses. And imagine that, it's in the Old Testament, in Exodus. The Lord said, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. And he said, and Moses said this is so beautiful. You may have heard this song and not know where it came from. This is the first time I read it. It's what I said. It's one of them aha moments. And he said, Moses said, please show me your glory. Show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. God said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. It means we can't direct God to do whatever he wants. He's going to do whatever he wants. Amen. Because he's God. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live, because his glory is so amazing. Amen. It's like standing in front of 1,000 suns. You just can't look at the sun. You can't look at his face. And the Lord said, I love this. Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. That's such a powerful thing. We're talking about God here, amen? Moses is talking and with God. And I've always heard that song, Rock of Ages, cleft with me, and I never understood what it meant until I understood that God put him in the cleft of that rock, and it protected him when he walked by, amen? That to me was just amazing. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm going to go to Deuteronomy. That sounds like a crazy, that's a funny word, right? Deuteronomy, and people know, what does that mean? It means the second law, the second, thank you, Lord. It simply means he's going to, thank you, Father. Yeah, the second law. Deuteronomy is the book that Moses writes just before the Israelites go into the promised land, amen? And just before he goes in, I've been with him how many years? 40 years, amen? He's been with him 40 years, and just before they're going to go into the promised land that Moses cannot go into, amen? He's going to give him the book of Deuteronomy, which means the second law. It means he's going to revisit everything that he's told him in Leviticus, everything that he's told him in Exodus. He's going to give him all them same rules again, Pat. He's just going to go over it again, like a redoing everything so that they know right here before they enter. That's all it really means. Amen. So that word Deuteronomy, don't let it scare you. It just means the second law, the second time that Moses explains it. But I want to read this to you in Deuteronomy 12:29. I want you to listen to what God says. See if it touches you the way it touches me. The little title over the scripture says, beware of false gods. What kind of gods? And it said 12:29 in Deuteronomy, Gary, when the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land. Listen to what he says, and listen to this. Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire. You what? You do what? Not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I will also do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods, which means that they sacrifice children to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. Amen. And those scriptures, 29 to 32, that's powerful right there. Listen to what he's saying, and kind of put your brain on what's happening today. And you see the intermingling of all these religions coming together. And listen to what he's saying. You shall not worship the Lord your God that way. He said, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them. Amen? Well, we can read about it and we can study about it. Doesn't mean that you can't study about it, because I want to know about other religions. I want to know about it, what they believe and how they believe. He's saying, but take heed that you're not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I will also do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. So when all these religions come together, you have to start wondering, what do they really believe? How do they understand God? Where do they see God? What do they worship to God? What did they sacrifice to God that's different than our God? Amen? Understand the depth of that. That really moved me. Are you with me? He's telling us we have one God. Amen? One God. Amen? Are you with me? So I tell you this. This is in Scripture now. This is your pastor. If the Bible is God's Word, and we believe it is, amen? God knew from the beginning that he was going to use this Bible as the main instrument for redemption of man. God knew. If this word is his word, amen, can I get an amen? Then he knew we were going to use this book to tell others about him, amen? Who are we to pick and choose what we believe and not believe, amen? Who are we to do that? If God gave us this book, these books, and the five books of Moses, the Old Testament, who are we to say, well, that's not really right today, that doesn't work today, or take something away because we feel like it, amen? Who are we to do that? To me, we are to pick and, we can't pick and choose, because that sounds crazy to me, if not a dangerous road to travel. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Again, Moses wrote Genesis out of previously written documents, perhaps from Adam and Ham. He wrote Genesis after spending time with God. Who did he spend time with? My God, he spent time with God. And you can imagine what he asked and how amazing it must have been to hear all those answers. Amen? From Exodus on, Moses wrote firsthand. Exodus, Leviticus, all those books Moses wrote, he lived it. He wrote what he lived. Amen? So how can there be something in there not pertaining to us if he's writing what God has told him to? Amen? What is sin? What is sin? Anything that separates us from God. Amen? When we sin of any kind, we are putting ourselves in a place to fail. Can I get an amen? Our sins can fall, and this is important, listen. Our sins can fall on those we love the most, meaning our sins can and will hurt, cause them pain. Amen? When we sin, it's not just us that suffers. It's the people around us who love us. Amen? God is trying to show us and lead us away from our sins, our faults. And that is no small matter. Can I get an amen? Now listen, we don't practice sinning. We work every day to move away from those things that will steal our joy and steal our dreams. But listen to this. God cannot bless and prosper disobedience and unfaithfulness. Amen? So when God was leading them, he had to be... This was a big deal. Amen? This was important. We are no longer under the law. We are living in the covenant of grace because of who? Because of Jesus. Moses was leading the Jewish nation. God was teaching Moses how they were to live. The book of Leviticus... means pertaining to the Levites, one of the 12 tribes. That's all the book of Leviticus means. It sounds like a big word, a very expensive word that has a lot of meaning, but it was a letter to the Levites, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen, Bernie? And that's what the letter, that's what Leviticus, and he's writing to them, and he's teaching them the system of laws under which the Hebrew nation should live. Amen? He's teaching them, Sergio, how the nation should live, and he's going to be hard-handed with it because it's that important. Amen? He's not going to waver and try to be nice. And when he's teaching the Jewish nation how to become what they should be, it was hard. Amen? And Deuteronomy, again, means the second law. The journey's over. Moses is repetitive, explaining the laws, the words from God, how to live. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many remember in Matthew, I won't read it because you should know, Matthew 4, Jesus is tempted 3 times by Satan, amen? He's tempted 3 times by Satan after he has fasted for 40 days. And 3 times, Jesus answered him back. And what does Jesus use to answer him back? This is great. The Old Testament doesn't mean anything. We got to pick and choose. Jesus used Deuteronomy 3 times. 3 times. You know what? Let me read. Can I read it to you? Hallelujah. Thank you. I don't want to just flub over. I don't. You know, when I was, my pastor, Pastor Larry, was one of the best teachers I ever, I mean, I ate every word he said. After a while, I got made notes. Nobody, I wrote notes, by the way, on the back of my bulletin, because he said so many things I wanted to study. Just hint by the, made notes. Get it? And he would, you know, we would do 17 songs, right, Greg? And Pastor Grace would sing 14 more songs. And then he would say, well, we don't have time for the word, so to cut it short. And I'm thinking, no, that's what I came for. I mean, I love the songs and I love the theater because we played music. But can we cut the song short so I can hear the word, amen? But I loved him. So I never want to, I said, if I ever pastor, I don't ever want to say, well, I got to cut it short. But I want you to be comfortable. Are you all comfortable? Praise God. Matthew 4, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Whew. And he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterwards, he was hungry. I bet he was. Amen. Some of us can't go 40 minutes. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, now listen to this, what you might not understand. Satan knows the Word of God better than any of us. Amen. He knows the Word of God better than any prophet. Elaine, he knows it better than any scholar, anybody that's been in any college. He knows the word better than they do, amen? So understand, he knew that. So when the tempter came to him, and Satan said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones come become bread. But he answered and said, it is written. It is what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How many words? You got it. Deuteronomy 8:3. He just quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Now Satan's going to use it now. Satan says, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 6:16. And again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Amen. The greatest commandment in Deuteronomy 6:5, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this book, front to back, is alive and well. Amen. It is as much today as it was then. I am not going to question it or try and decide what is and what is not. And let me tell you this, God has not called us to go back and try to relive what Moses lived. Amen? You understand it? Or to do exactly what God has told Moses to do. There was a story about a man that said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to live the Bible literally. I'm going to try to walk in the ways that the Bible literally. And he went to different religions and tried to fit in. Now, I read that before. What did God say about different religions and their gods? Don't do it. Amen? Don't get caught up in it. And this guy said, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to, and this didn't work out and I tried to do this and I wore the suit. Well, God has never told us to go back and relive it. Amen? So why would you do something God hasn't told you to do? Amen? That's to me, and this is opinion again. I get that from you. Thank you for that. I see people every now and you see somebody very wealthy said, I'm going to live for 30 days like a poor man. I'm going to live on $2 a day or $1 a day. I said, I don't remember exactly. And they said, I'm going to go and live like that for a month. And I said, what's that? You can't make yourself be poor if you're wealthy or beyond belief, because you know back here somewhere that this is going to pass. Even if I have to eat out of the garbage for 20 days, I know it. You see, you can't do, amen, what somebody else is already living or somebody lived through. But this person said, I'm going to go back and I want to prove that the Bible, you can't take it literally because you can't live that way. And I said, well, when did God ever tell us to do that? Amen? The Hebrew nation. Yeah, I'm going to say that. God has not called us to go back and try to relive what Moses lived or to do exactly what God told Moses. The Hebrew nation had an awesome responsibility, Sergio. They were chosen to tell us about who? God. God chose them, so their responsibility was up here. Amen? The Hebrew nation had an awesome responsibility, and that made it that much more important that God would be so demanding of them to understand. God was not playing around. Amen? We are not called to have to go back and do exactly what they were told to do. We're not. Amen? I never read anything in here where God said, I need to suffer like David suffered or Moses suffered or Peter suffered. I just, when we do that, it just almost mocks God, saying that, well, I really don't believe it, so I'm going to go back and prove that the word is wrong. I don't want to be that one. That's too dangerous for me. And to preach to you something that's not in this book or what I think should be in the book or not in the book, that's too dangerous for all of us. God was not playing around. We were not called to have to go back and do exactly what they were told to do. But I will do this. I will listen and learn and try to do all that is written in this book of the law and love God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. For the book of the law says, this book of the law shall not depart from my heart and my mind, but I shall meditate on it day and night. Day and night, meditate on this and do all that is written. All that is written. All. Then I shall have good success. Then I shall prosper. Hallelujah. That's in the Old Testament. That's the promise from Joshua 1:8. The promises in that book, I don't want to lose any. I don't want you to lose any. When people start talking about this book, I don't want you to get worried. Understand that the blind will lead the blind. Amen, Marcia? People who are going to talk about God that don't know him won't know what they're talking about. It's funny when you hear about it, you think about it. They're talking about something they know nothing about. Right, George? You ever meet somebody who talks to you about fishing, you know right away they don't know anything about fishing? That's where people talk about the Bible like that. Amen? This book of the law is the greatest gift right here that we have from God that we can read every day and enjoy every day. And it's alive today as much as it was when Moses wrote it for us. Amen? God gave it to Moses. Moses gave it to us. I believe. Give him praise. Give to God praise.